This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When it comes to hiring, don't search for a great talent, match with them. Thanks to Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find qualified candidates fast. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. Go to Indeed.com/listen and tell them you heard about them from this podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
BT, it's out back up, fam. Before we get back to the phones here, BT, 888-808-1019. And we could work the Jets into the conversation. There was some news yesterday, them interviewing Thomas Dimitroff. Right, so the caller called earlier and mentioned the Talking Giants podcast, Bobby Skinner, who I've had on before. And he said that the caller who called said that the Giants called Talking Giants podcast and asked them to take a video down that they were criticizing Joe Shane, or not even criticizing, just saying why, in their opinion, Joe Shane should be fired. I wanted to check that out. Yeah, Bobby's texting me. They did.
Yeah.
He said they talked about that. Okay, they talked about it on the pod today, so the Talking Giants pod, you can listen to that. He said Giants didn't ask to take it down, but they called him. So I guess they didn't ask to take it down, but they called him saying they were never going to do them any favors again. Then he goes on to say the only favor they did was getting him into a joint practice in Detroit a couple years ago, which is not a big deal. And this is because he made a video saying why they should fire Shane. They called him after the game Sunday night about a video that was on Thursday. I mean, that is, I'm not trying to get involved in a dirty situation, but the caller called and brought it up before. Mm-hmm. You can't be as a PR team calling people, telling them to take down stuff because they're criticizing a team that is 2-12. Good God, you guys make it hard on us. Nobody wants to come on here and rip the team. You think Talking Giants podcast and Bobby Skinner is a freaking diehard Giants fan flying up from Tampa to go to these games? You think he wants to rip the Giants? He wants to see a winning team? You're 2-12. You can't criticize the team? Oh, my God.
Okay, so why? What's the motivation for the Giants? Obviously, I agree. I don't need to pile on. That is very petty. That's pathetic.
Come on, man.
But what's the Giants' motivation in doing that? I would guess that
we're not going to help you. They're threatening now. We're not going to help you.
We're not going to help you. But the stuff that they want them to take down is about Shane, right?
Yes.
Okay. What does that tell you?
Yeah, they want to keep Shane.
They're trying to keep a lane or an avenue.
But who are they fooling?
They're fooling nobody.
Okay, that's what I'm trying to tell you. Like, and it's not just the Giants. Other teams do this. Although this one to me is pretty bad. Like this is where you cross the line. Tell them, hey, take that down. Like, what? They're a successful podcast.
Mm-hmm.
They're John Boy Media. Like, that's a legitimate media company.
No question.
The podcast has become just as relevant as some others, like radio, whatever it may be. So, like, you're trying to now, and a threat? No less? Like,
yeah, and the threat was what? We're not going to help you out moving forward with what? With what guests?
Well, I mean, I don't know what all Bobby said was that the only thing they've helped him out was get him to a joint practice. Hmm. Like, I don't even know how that's a big deal. Like, But even that they would say something like that. Like, do these teams think that they're fooling anybody? We're not trying to pile on unnecessarily. Matter of fact, when L. Duncan ripped Daniel Jones, you and I, BT, defended the Giants.
Yes, we did.
In that spot and ripped L. Duncan. So we're just trying to be fair and call it how we see it.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we're right, sometimes we're wrong, but it's just how we see it. And I don't know how anybody could see it any differently. I'm the one who tried to defend you guys. You're making me look bad for 2 years. Then going back to last year, this year, you're 2-12. Like, I'm sorry, you got to take your lumps. When the Mets are 11 games under 500, you got to take your lumps. When the Yankees drop balls all over the place or lose, like, got to take your lumps. I'm sorry. There is no, oh, please take it easy on us. We're not going to help you. What is that? You're 2-12. You're the worst team in the NFL. You've been an embarrassment. You can't score points. Your special team stinks. Your defense stinks. The players that you draft have stunk. The quarterback that you signed stunk. Like, but we can't criticize Joe Shane? Oh, man.
They got to sit this one out. You know, that's my PR message for the New York Giants. Number one, it's a battle they're never going to win. When you try to control the media, generally the media doesn't like it, and the media bites back more harshly, and that's never going to be something that they'll win. I understand the desperation, which is where the Giants are right now, you know, self-preservation mode, salvation mode, whatever, however you want to frame it, that does blur often the lines of sensibility as to what you should do and what you shouldn't do. I don't want to say that this is without precedent, because I know that it's not. This has happened in other circumstances. But I'm just trying to think about me. Like, even back in the day when I worked at the other station and we had the Knicks, and the Knicks were at their absolute messiest, I wouldn't have listened anyway, but not once did I get called into my boss's office. Hey, the Knicks reached out, lay low. And imagine me 15, 20 years ago, how nuts I was, what I would say. I would say anything. Not once. So the Knicks let us deliver the lumps there. The Jets were at that station as well. Not once did the Jets reach out and say, hey, tell them to relax, or, you know, feed them this to soften that. It's just not the right thing to do. Now, we are the home of the Yankees here. We are the home of the Giants. We are the home of the Nets. We don't talk about the Nets, and obviously Rutgers too. We don't talk about the Nets, so the Nets don't really enter the equation. Think about the conversations we've had about the New York Yankees on this station. There's a drop that I guess Boomer and Gio still have, where I say, you know, Brian Cashman has not earned the right. You guys know that drop. Right. Brian Cashman was on the show 3 months ago. Right. Like, you got to be big boys, man. You got to understand that you made your bed and you are inept because of you.
Yeah.
Not because of some pod, or not because of Sal, or not because of me, or not because the broadcast team here on the Giants broadcast team was a little bit too critical during a game. It's your indecision or bad decisions that have created this. So just suck it up and disappear here till the end of the season.
Yeah, and I get that, you know, you got to play the game. Like, you can't be unfair and go overly, and you can't make it personal.
Can't
like,
be personal.
Yeah, there are certain things that we understand the rules, and when you're partners with teams, like, we all want to have good, great relationships, and I don't think it's fun to come on and just bury every team. We really like to see them have success. However, nobody that anything says about Joe Shane is going to overshadow his record. Not only the team's record, his draft picks. Like, it speaks for itself. I don't have to rip Joe Shane. All I have to say is two words: Evan Neal. End of story. Like, everybody knows the deal. Kayvon Thibodeau. Everybody knows the deal. That to me is a little much. You want to say that there's some things being unfair. If they were, I don't know, whatever, 6-10, whatever it may be.
Yeah, then maybe, that's a little harsh, the criticism.
At 2-12, where the criticism is legitimate with good reason, and those guys are smart the way that they do it on Talking Giants. I haven't listened to the latest podcast, and they talked about all this stuff. I can't even believe that would actually be the case. I can't even believe that the Giants would be that foolish.
I'm surprised by this, too. Sal tells you how desperate they are. That's what it tells you.
All right, BT and Sal on the fan. Let's get back to the calls. 888-808-1019. Mike is calling from Ramstown. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. How are you, Mike?
Hey, Mike.
Good. Happy holidays to you all.
You too, buddy. Absolutely.
I just wanted to touch on one point real quick, and if I could make a second one after that. The first one is Joe Shane. You have traded away, potentially, or let go, the defensive player of the year, Xavier McKinney, and also the offensive player of the year in Saquon Barkley. Let them go.
Yep.
How is that not a fireable offense?
Well, I mean, that's an oversimplification. The money that they were both going to get, and obviously justifying Saquon where the Giants are as a team, it's a little more nuanced than that, but that's not something that's going to be at the top of Joe's resume. I can promise you that.
Well, that's the point. I still believe letting Barkley go was the right decision.
So do I.
I'm also a talk show host and not a general manager, and after the fact, Saquon Barkley is turning into an MVP. So what it does do is...
But that doesn't change your opinion on whether or not they should have done that, because it doesn't change mine.
No, but here's the bigger problem. It doesn't look good for them, certainly.
No, but the Giants don't have the weapons. Okay. The Saquon's not having this season here.
But that's the bigger problem. He's never had the season that he's having now here. So it speaks to the ineptitude of the organization that selected him second overall, which was a colossal mistake, and I don't want to live in the past, but it's a big mistake. But they, who took him number two, couldn't even maximize his abilities for how many years was he here. Then he goes to the Eagles, and in one shot, boom, he's the MVP, or one of the MVP candidates. Like, that's just not a good look for the Giants organization. It further embarrasses the New York Giants brand, whether we think it's the right move or not. And there were reasons why we thought it was the right move to let him go. It's because of where they are as an organization. But, I mean, BT, you tell me you wouldn't want to watch Saquon Barkley. I know it wouldn't be the same, but still.
But I can promise you this. If Saquon was on the team, I would actually watch more of these Giant games than I do. Well, they are unwatchable. I'm wasting my time watching. The product is just unwatchable.
That's the point. Like, it's just not, even though it might have technically been the right decision, the way that the results have showed expose you for, A, that decision, and then, B, the way that you handled it before it, and, C, your offense stinks. Like, I thought, all right, they'll be able to run the football. And like, Tracy's not bad. He can't catch the ball to save his life. He's not bad, but they can't run the football, period.
You know what it does, Sal? It allows people to pile on. It allows people to pile on. And when you're two wins in by Christmas, basically, the pile-ons generally gets a reaction from the owner.
John is calling from Huntington. What's up, John? Hey, John.
Hey, good morning, guys. Before I get into the Shane Gable Mara saga, Sal, congratulations on Soto.
Thank you.
So I'm of the agreement that every coach for the last 8 years has had their hands tied by Mara. This one is no exception. They were forced to have a quarterback that they didn't want. If they give them truth serum, if they could have, they would have gotten a new quarterback before they started. But they had to take Daniel Jones. They won with them. Then they were stuck again. So they kept on kicking the can down the road. I'm sure Mara was part of that. We have to sign him back. You know, he won a playoff game for us. Every part of the way, I'm sure Mara was, you know, talking in their ear, we got to keep this guy, we got to keep this guy. I mean, okay, so now he's gone. Now we give these guys a chance to start fresh. I know you guys want the reason. What have they done to keep them? All right, so last year, despite all the injuries, Dable kept his team together. He won a couple games with whatever talent he did have. Now this year, he's got even less talent, and they're not quitting on him, but they're not winning games. So that's why I keep Dable. He's the adult in the room. He's still keeping this locker room together. And absolutely, even though they're not winning games, they're not quitting on him. So he hasn't lost the locker room.
Now, John, let me throw this at you. Hold on, John, question for you.
He's gotten rid of and had to make...
Yeah. Question for you, John. Don't you think there's... And there are teams who, when you get to the stage, they check out, they quit. It's anarchy. Do you think the Jets have quit on Ulbrich? I don't. I think Ulbrich might be the worst coach in the NFL. So just because you don't quit on a coach, is that really enough reason to come back?
Fantasy freaks and geeks, it's James Kell from the Sleeper King Football Podcast. We all know sleepers can win you championships, but finding these guys takes time. That's where the Sleeper King comes in. Let me do all the research so you don't have to. Every week, I'm going to break down which sleepers you need to pick up off the waiver wire and which surprise deep sleepers could help you win the week. Every episode, just 15 to 20 minutes long, every Tuesday through Friday. Subscribe to the Sleeper King Football Podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your pods.
When you're at the stage with the Giants and you're a rebuild, the Jets are a different story, I think, because they were going for a Super Bowl and they have veterans in the locker room. The Giants don't have any veterans really in the locker room. They're a super young team. They got rid of all their veterans because they were going to be too highly priced. So that's why they got rid of McKinney. That's why they got rid of Saquon. They have babies on the field right now that have so many growing pains that it's literally almost unwatchable. But they're not quitting on this head coach. That's what's going on with this franchise right now.
Thanks for the call, John, but that's not enough to justify keeping him.
They're not quitting.
Okay, let's simplify for a second here. I agree, they're not quitting on him, but like, I mean, you could Deontay Banks quit on the season weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So, and there's one player, and also the other players came out and said we're soft or the lack of effort. Illuminor, who we've had on.
Yep, Dexter Lawrence said that.
I mean, come on, so it's such a mess. What do you think, BT, the first job of Brian Daboll was once the Giants hired him. The first job, like the biggest thing that Mara hired him to do.
Well, he's obviously an offensive background.
Okay.
I mean, I would say when you extend beyond whether or not you're on the offensive or defensive side of the ball, professionalism, just toughness, well, just basic staples of functional teams.
And with this particular team, I believe they hired Daboll to get the most out of Daniel Jones. This is clear that the owner liked Jones and believed in him. Mm-hmm. This regime was supposed to fix, quote-unquote, fix Daniel Jones or maximize Daniel Jones' ability. And then, obviously, Shane's job was to build out around it. That is a proven, now, failed experiment. Where after year one, I think everybody was saying, oh, man, maybe this guy can maximize Daniel Jones. Those of us who really knew, like we knew. But you get the point.
Mm-hmm.
Then they tried again in year two to build around it. Didn't work. Then they tried again this year. Didn't work. It is a proven failed objective to maximize Daniel Jones. That's what they were brought here to do. Now you're going to give them a chance to build a new quarterback and draft and develop a new quarterback and beyond that. And by the way, even if they did, that to me wouldn't be the worst choice. We started talking about the article from the Post where they're saying that they may keep Shane and fire Daboll. Like, that just doesn't make any sense to me. You want to keep both? Fine. You want to fire both? Even better. You want to keep one and fire the other? That makes no sense. But they have already failed multiple times over in their 3 years. Year one, success. Year two, failure. Year three, failure. Drafting or developing the quarterback, failure. Building a roster around them, failure. Letting guys go, failure. Bringing guys in, drafting, failure. Like, there's nothing that this regime can hang their hat on outside of the first year in the significant overachievement.
Yeah, and I also want to go back to something Les Crowther brought up about how the team hasn't quit. And I'm not saying that I don't place any value on that, but as I listen to him plot that out, I really think it's the absolute wrong way to look at it, because he talked about how most of the veterans outside, you know, Lawrence and a couple of others, Andrew Thomas, et cetera, even though he was hurt, most of the vets were expunged, for lack of a better word, based on finances and kind of clean this thing up, right? Well, don't you think what's more common in not just the NFL, in any sport? Veterans with even though it's not guaranteed, but guaranteed signing bonuses, veterans with money in the bank quitting when things really go awry, or young kids with no money quitting. Veterans!
Right.
So I can't look at the Giants roster and say, my goodness, the fact that they're still kind of playing hard for Daboll, you know, that's incentive enough for me to bring it back. Veterans understand what you put on film is going to dictate the next 5 years of your earning power. So I don't know any, unless you're just predisposed to quitting and being soft and not being a professional in terms of being diligent, what young kid quits? None.
Mark is in Wyckoff, New Jersey. What's up, Mark?
Hey, morning, guys.
Hello, Mark. What's happening, buddy?
I got a theory here. You know, I was looking at, you know, the pros and cons of this scenario, and you know, I'm wondering if this is like somehow being orchestrated. It's funny that when they decide to switch, Tommy DeVito was going to give the spark. He gets hurt. The known entity obviously is Locke. They know he can't do anything. The thing we need the most is a quarterback winning too many games. Like, you know, when Danny came in last year and won those meaningless games, everybody looked back and said, "Well, that cost us the quarterback." So I'm wondering here whether the tank thing is somehow being orchestrated where, all right, we're not going anywhere. 4 or 5 wins, well, what's that get you? You know, get your lower draft pick. We need a quarterback. There's no quarterbacks. It's not that deep a draft. So if you need the top two spots, I mean, is it plausible that maybe there's, you know, Mara's going to let him stay? They know that. I mean, they pull these guys on IR for, like, you know, they're not hanging around trying to get back. Everybody's like burying everybody off the roster. So now you have an excuse.
We've talked about this. This has come up here, Mark. And we don't know one way or the other, but there's a thought, well, hey, listen, based on the circumstances and the injuries and the appeal of finishing first or second to have access to a quarterback, whether or not they love these kids, we'll find out. But yeah, I mean, maybe there was a little wink and, hey, listen, you know, from ownership to Shane and Daboll, you guys are back next year, and independent of results, you're back. That's been surmised. We've talked about that. I don't know for sure one way or the other, but I mean, it wouldn't stun me one way or the other.
And look, if that's the decision and that was their decision made that they made early, I'm okay. I'm fine with that. It's not what I would do at this particular point, especially when you talk about Ben Johnson being out there. Like, there are other options that to me would be more appealing based on their potential and upside. Pairing with the top pick, whether it's number one or number two, with Ben Johnson, I think is worth exploring more so than crossing your fingers and holding out hope that the decisions you made 3 years ago coupled with what you've seen in those 3 years, mm-hmm. believing that these guys are the right guys to turn it around. But as long as they make a decision to keep them together, both go, both stay, I'd be okay with that. Not saying it's right to keep them, but I'd be okay with that. You can't split them up. To me, that would be a disaster.
There's no way I would do that. I think that that would be a disaster. And the other thing, too, and we'll get these calls coming up next, so obviously get a break here. But I think that I know that we think that we know everything, but in reality, we don't. So would I leave the window a little bit open that whether it was Mara or somebody from the Giants, you know an agent who represents Ben Johnson, hey, if we have an opening, this could be as recently or as far back as five weeks ago.
Would be interested.
Yeah, if we have an opening, would Ben be interested? The money will be fine. You know, we'll talk about general parameters. We'll take care of that. Any interest in coming to coach the Giants? And if that was the case, and it was intimated to them, no, he will have no interest in you. Well, then maybe you change course and you do let Shane and Dable know that, hey, if you guys lose out because somebody that, and it doesn't just have to be Ben, it could have been Vrabel, could have been Belichick, could have been anybody. You know, there are back channels in the multi-billion-dollar world of pro sports. Now, are the Giants savvy enough to operate that and orchestrate that the right way? I mean, they haven't been for a while, so why would they be that way now? But I don't rule that out.
You know, Thomas Dimitroff was interviewed by the Jets yesterday. He's a proven better general manager than Joe Shane, better than anything the Jets have had. We'll get it to him coming up, but, I mean, there's a guy you could explore as well, even if you're the Giants, not just the Jets. 888-808-1019. We'll continue with the call. Some baseball stuff we got to get to. Yanks going to announce their big signing tomorrow.
One of our big signings. We got more coming here, buddy. I know you're all pumped up on Soto. Don't forget, Yang's got an ace, and Yang's got a stud at the back end.
I'm shaking in my Met boots. 888-808-1019, the number to call. BT and Sal on the Fan.
All right.
Well, that's twice in a row here, Dove.
I'll put you on blast, buddy.
Where's
the miscommunication?
Come on, Dove.
What time is it?
Hey. Am I wrong?
Yes, you are
wrong.
Oh, but two days in a row, you guys screwing
it's
up
one
here.
Day.
The communication.
One day me, one day him.
Okay, so, it's still 2 days in a row. The dance
All right. Pipe down. Like, you never make mistakes. Go see if the Christmas tree fits. Now he's telling me to even know if the tree fits. And maybe it's too big. Dove, was that my bad, sir? Was that
this time looked at the wrong time?
I'm sorry about that, Dove. Of course, I would never besmirch your amazing reputation. I apologize, Dovey.
It's almost like Rodgers to Devontae Adams.
There you go. I mean, hey, listen, this is great synergy. It's somebody's fault. It just ain't mine.
BT and Sal back on the Fan. 888-808-1019 is the number to call. So we mentioned Thomas Dimitroff. Jets announced kind of out of nowhere yesterday that they had interviewed Dimitroff. I love him, BT. What he did with the Atlanta Falcons. Now it's hard with these general managers because, you know, a lot of them, the names we've never heard of before, we're not familiar with them. This one I am very familiar with because I was watching the Falcons closely all those years Dimitroff was there. You have to remember what he did building this team up from the ground up after Michael Vick was thrown in prison for the dogfighting ring, drafting Matt Ryan, building it in the process, trading up for Julio Jones, all the other things. And he didn't get fired because he wasn't very good. I think he just got fired because it was, or they went moved on from him because it was time for a change, which happens in sports. You're there for a long time. Maybe the thing that he got caught up in, the one negative, was chasing the Super Bowl. Chasing, you know, blowing that 28-3 lead. Remember, he hired two coaches. He hired Mike Smith. They didn't think Smith was enough. They hired Dan Quinn. They get to the Super Bowl. They blew the 28-3 lead. And from there, there was really not much you could do. And by the way, the guy that they hired now, Terry Fontenot, he hasn't done squat. They stink, the Atlanta Falcons. You watched them last night. I would take Dimitroff back. So put it this way. I don't know all the names who are going to be out there for the Jets.
Yeah.
Thomas Dimitroff would be a home run hire. Comes from the Patriots. That's where the Falcons hired away from years ago. So he's got that background with New England. He had success in Atlanta as the front guy. He's had some time away. I think Dimitroff would be a great hire.
So I think, for me, great's a little bit strong, but I'm interested. Listen, I don't know that, I don't want to assume everybody knows exactly what he's done. 113-95. Yeah. That's obviously a lot of games.
With a franchise that's never won before.
Correct. It's like he took over the Steelers or something like that. Six times in the playoffs, got to the Super Bowl. Obviously, their quarterback won the MVP, Matt Ryan. Listen, I look at his resume.
All the coordinators that they've hired kept getting
Shanahan
coaching jobs.
And others.
I mean, even before that, Malarkey. Huh. There were some other ones that kept getting
Malarkey went to Tennessee from there?
Does that sound right, Mike Malarkey?
I believe it was Tennessee. I could be off on that. But, you know,
am I getting it mixed up? Who was the other dude that used to be in Buffalo, the offensive? Not Doug Marone. Who was the offensive
coordinator? Marone was the old lineman.
Like Matt Ryan had multiple offensive coordinators through those years. Those guys kept getting jobs because the offense with Atlanta was so good.
And the guys they brought in were still pretty decent, to your point. So he can navigate that hiring process. I like Dimitroff. I do. I actually like him a lot. And listen, I'm not even going to point to necessarily the fact that he got to the Super Bowl or when he started, you know, when he took over in 08, 4 out of 5 years, whatever it was, they made the playoffs. Those are things that are appealing. But I like to almost look at the opposite. What happens when you hit your lowest point? How do you regenerate? And to me, that's the sign of, okay, so it doesn't mean you inherited a ton of stuff. It means that, you know, you got to a certain level, and now just based on attrition, you know, when you get to a Super Bowl, you lose guys, or you know, free agents, or your free agents are overpaid or overvalued around the league. So what does it all mean? Well, when the Falcons were 13-3 and they lost to the conference championship back in 2012. All
was
right?
At that game against the Niners.
That
yes.
was the Niners game. Yep, 13-3. Then the next year, they go 4-12. All right, now it's a big step back. Then the next year, they're 6-10. They win two more games. Then it's 8-8. So rather
I think
than...
I think that was the 6-10. They fired Mike Smith, then brought in Dan Quinn, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep, so rather than languishing in that 3-4-5 win territory like a lot of teams, like our teams do too often here, he was able to incrementally, granted small increments, four wins after the 13-win season, 4-6-8, then... bang, right back to 11. And they got to the Super Bowl. And even the next year, you know, just to prove that it wasn't really a fluke, even though they lost in the divisional round, I get that, they won double figures again. So he has shown the ability to win right away. They went 11-5 his first year. He got to the playoffs 4 times in 5 years when he started there. Then when they hit a little swoon, as everybody does, even the mm-hmm. Niners this year, the good teams, it happens. I don't care who you are. He showed an ability to regenerate in a systematic, in a smart, methodical way, which I value.
And I do think it's very important to remember, this was a franchise prior to his arrival. He hired Mike Smith, who was a no-name guy,
yep.
and was the right head coach at the time from Jacksonville, defensive coordinator. He had the guts to draft Matt Ryan, where Bill Parcells ended up going to Miami. They took Jake Long, so he pulled the trigger on Matt Ryan, which was a obviously franchise-changing pick. Prior to their arrival, and remember, they got brought on, BT, after Bobby Petrino quit. Like, it wasn't just Mike Vick got thrown in prison. The head coach quit on the team. You could not be lower as a franchise. Not to mention that the franchise never in their history before they got there had consecutive winning seasons. We talk about the Mets.
Kind of like the Mets of the NFL.
We've talked about the Mets who've only had back-to-back postseason appearances mm-hmm. 2 times in their history. The Atlanta Falcons never had back-to-back winning seasons in their history prior to the arrival of Dimitroff and Mike Smith. And you look at who the Jets have hired. You know, think about Joe Douglas, unknown.
But I like the organization. Like, Joe came from Ravens, the Eagles, well thought of in NFL circles. I like the hire of Joe.
Understood, but still unknown.
Yeah.
Mike McCagnan, yeah, same thing. Mike McCagnan, same thing. Idzik, embarrassment.
Oh, God, Idzik.
Like, you're in this scenario, and again, there's going to be plenty of other guys at the interview, but I think you'd be hard-pressed to find a guy with a better resume than Thomas Dimitroff. He's already done it before. He's out for a while. You mentioned all the good things about it. I think it'd be a great hire. I'd be fascinated to see who he brings in as a head coach. Maybe it is Vrabel. I don't love Vrabel.
That would get me excited.
I don't love Vrabel, but in that tandem, I get my guy, you get your guy. I love it.
Well, he's also really embraced the analytics. I know that that's a role that he's had now for a couple of years here. So you would think that that would translate, you would hope, into the war room and, you know, as you get into the college game. Again, I would say you think it's a homer. I would say, like, I would be happy. I would say, okay, they finally have a reputable, established name for all the reasons I gave you before. I'm not going to go through it again.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm popping champagne, but the elimination of the unknown is very appealing to me at this point.
It gets me excited. For that franchise in particular, really for these two franchises with the Jets and Giants, but for that one in particular.
What about if the Giants fired Shane? Should the Giants be interested in Dimitroff?
100%. Now, again, I want to see the other names, but as opposed to, the next guy in line in, say, Detroit. Right?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Or the next guy in line in Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
I would rather go for what I know is the guy who has built a team from the ground up, a franchise with nothing. Nothing for years until his arrival, and they were able to finally build a foundation of sustained success and almost the ultimate success. Like, it wasn't his fault that they lost the Super Bowl. He had the team out there. They had a 20-3 lead. It was the idiots on the field who cost them the Super Bowl. Dan Quinn or even Kyle Shanahan. And Dan Quinn's doing well with Washington, and Shanahan obviously with the Niners. I know this year's a down year, but...
What about Robinson or Riddick? Those are the other names that are out
there. Yeah, Robinson is who now? From where?
You have John Robinson.
From where is he?
Where is he? Riddick,
I'm familiar with, the ESPN guy.
He did the I think he's the Commanders.
Yeah, see, again.
Is he? He's the Commanders? I think so.
I'd have to do more homework on this when we see the names come out. But again, I think a lot of the other options are going to be, like really, Dimitrov should have never been removed from Atlanta.
Why has he been out of it so long?
That's a great question. I don't know if he wanted to take a step back. Yeah. I think he got into other stuff. He's a unique dude, but he was a hell of a general manager. And like I said, I think they just... I want a guy, BT, with a resume, with experience, that is a proven commodity.
Robinson was Titans. That's right. My bad. That's why the connection to Vrabel. Even okay. more so.
I mean, all right, so you're going to find decent personnel guys around the league, but it's also rolling the dice.
I get it. He drafted Derrick Henry. He drafted A.J. Brown. They won with Ryan Tannehill. Yeah, I feel like I guess I always kind of conjure up some excitement and hope when this happens every couple years. I feel like the Jets, I don't know what their coaching search will look like. I feel like their general manager early stages of the search is relatively on point so far. So far. I like what I'm saying.
My only issue is that they just didn't take the call from Belichick. Other than that, I'd be okay with it. Let's get some calls in here. BT and Sal on the Fan, 888-808-1019. We've been talking Giants, threw in a little Jets with Thomas Dimitroff. Anything you missed, check it out on the free Odyssey app. Lou is in South Florida. What's up, Lou?
Hey, guys. How's it going? New listener, first-time caller. Nice. I love you guys. You guys are absolutely great.
Thank you, Lou.
My wife is cracking up at Sal's ineptitudes as a husband during the holidays.
Yeah.
She
doesn't even know all of it.
Anyway, guys, listen, Joe Shane and Brian Daboll, they both have to go. Shane and Daboll, I know they get credit for that first season in 2022 when they went 9-7-1. They went after that 6-1 start, they're 11-29-1 since then. They've been terrible. The only reason they did well that year is because Daboll cut the field in half for Jones. He went roll out one read, and if it wasn't there, he took off running. That's the only reason. But as soon as they expanded the playbook, Jones was garbage. He's been garbage. We knew that. I don't know how they didn't see it. Point number two, $40 million for Jones. That's why you have no depth on the team. Because you can't afford it, you can't get other pieces when you're paying a replacement level quarterback $40 million a year.
Yeah, hold on one second, Lou. I think you're overstating that. Listen, the money. It's not about it. This always gets hijacked. And listen, Jones he deserves to be gone, but it's more about the percentage than the actual of the salary cap than the actual money that people kind of. Reference.
It's not the $40 million you're saying. It's more that it chews up a certain amount.
Well, it's more about the percentage. And listen, if they would have hit on more of their draft picks, then depth would not be an issue. I understand, like letting McKinney go, or even the Saquon stuff. That is partly attributable to, you know, the fact that they missed on draft picks, and Jones is making 40. But pretty much at this point, I mean, every veteran quarterback's in that neighborhood. What do you think Sam Darnold's going to make next year? Yeah. Sam's going to make about 35, 40, like that.
And they were talking about it again last night, and even before last night's game, like I guess it was Boomer and Geo talking about it maybe the day before, that Darnold's going to leave. Like, if you're Minnesota, you finally found a guy that looks competent, you're going to let him go? For what? For J.J. McCarthy, the unknown? But yeah, he's going to make a lot of money. I mean, that's what quarterbacks get. I would not pay Sam Darnold. If I'm the Giants, let's say, or Jets, and I'm looking for a quarterback, I'm not paying him the way that the Vikings paid Kirk Cousins or the idiot Falcons paid Kirk Cousins. I wouldn't do that.
I agree with
but
you.
But in Minnesota, I would pay him because you've seen it work with the weapons they have there in that offensive system. That, to me, would be the appeal or allure of Sam Darnold.
Did you like the white unis? The white helmets?
They were pretty cool.
Those were pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, look, Vikings are good. They're legit. Anyway, point is, the Giants, you're right, BT, the bigger issue is that if Kayvon Thibodeau was an elite edge rusher like they drafted him to be, it'd be
a different
story.
And everybody told us that he was?
Yeah, well, and they were wrong. And if Evan Neal, like they addressed two very important, with the first two picks of the Joe Shane regime, they addressed two very important spots. Evan Neal on the offensive line, Kayvon Thibodeau. Both, one worse than the other, have been disappointing. You want to say that Thibodeau could be functional? Sure, it could be functional, but he's not an impact, game-changing edge rusher, which is what you need in that spot of the draft. Evan Neal's not even a functioning offensive lineman. Those are just the top two, let alone the rest of it. Then last year, or 2 years ago, Deontay Banks, he's been a disaster. He was good his first year, disaster. John Michael Schmitz, is he the answer? Jalen Hyatt, Eric Gray, like,
Jalen Hyatt's not the answer.
Right. And then this year, again, neighbors, yeah, the player, not bad, but there are some issues with some of the stuff that he says. And me, to more to me, is that I would never, in their situation, have taken a wide receiver in that spot. I would have taken a quarterback or traded down. Same thing that you said you want to do potentially this year if you don't love Sanders or Ward. Mm-hmm. That's what I would have done last year. Instead, they take a wide receiver, which just doesn't make any sense to me. And even though Theo Johnson looks pretty good.
I like him in college. I
Drew
saw him
Phillips,
a lot in the Big Ten.
Okay, but they look okay for, you know, a year.
Well, I mean, I think Johnson would look a lot better if they had an offense that actually was on the field for a long time. You know, that's probably an extra target or two a game, and who knows how many receptions and yards and touchdowns. I like that pick. But
right. Drew Phillips I loved earlier in the year. But again,
yeah,
like,
you were all over him. You liked him early on.
And then there'd be some issues here. But honestly, BT, even if these, let's just say, hey, all these players, what a great rookie class. They stink. The team stinks. Like, you're not seeing the presence felt at all.
No. And listen, go back to the first draft here outside of quarterback. I mean, really, Shane tried, and I get it. Shane tried to swing on the two, to me, and it's indisputable, most important positions in football outside of the quarterback, a left tackle and a pass rusher. You may, maybe somebody could say cornerback, but I would still contend the pass rusher more than the corner. And he whiffed. Evan Neal didn't even get the bat off his shoulders. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, basically you popped up, you struck out with Kayvon. That's not fair. But, hey, do you want to pay Kayvon big money? I don't. There's no way they're going to pay him big money.
Let's say Kayvon's a base hit. You needed a home run in that spot.
They're not paying him.
You can't get base hit. Would you?
No chance.
Of course not. Anthony's in Old Bridge, New Jersey. What's up, Ant?
Fellas, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. I kind of want to go on the opposite approach here with the Giants. First things first, I am a Giant fan, so I'm speaking from the fan perspective.
Mm-hmm.
While there's no debating, this season has been absolutely horrible. There's no way. I mean, like you said, there's nothing to watch on Sundays. They're not good. But going into this, we always knew it was either going to be a make or break with Daniel Jones. It didn't work, obviously, multiple games into the season. As soon as they took him out, he was the most talented quarterback, regardless of his being not that great. It just goes to show you how untalented, not that they're not talented, they weren't as good as the other two guys, DeVito and Locke, not good.
Yeah.
The thing that's throwing me off about this is that over the past few weeks, I know teams tanking, but guys are popping up on the injury report that weren't even hurt. So I think there's something to do with that. As far as Dable and Shane goes, this season has been a disaster, but you can't take away year one. Year one was a success. While it was an overachievement, it was a success. And in regards to paying Daniel Jones, I have this argument with my friends all the time. After they win the playoff game, you're going into 2023. Who's going to be your quarterback if you don't sign Daniel Jones? And don't just tell me any schmo, because if you
can't... Yeah, that's not a good answer. Yeah. Okay, I got you.
So, but you can't even go into 2023. Oh, they should... The draft class in 23 was horrible. Kenny Pickett. Even Brock Purdy, the argument's out for him. You're going to pay him big-time money? I don't know. So, the whole...
No, but you didn't have to pay Daniel Jones. And you knew better.
But Sal, who's the alternative? If you go into a year after a playoff win without that quarterback, who's going to be the quarterback?
Well, again, they committed.
Who are you going to sell your fan base?
Well, I mean,
it was Saquon at that point.
Either way,
he's not a quarterback. Though.
Either way, it was a mistake.
I get it.
Daniel Jones isn't a quarterback either.
It was a mistake. Not debating that. It's definitely a mistake. But
I forget which year Russell Wilson came up. Well, they could have also found somebody in development. Like, just because maybe there wasn't an obvious one in the rookie class, and thank you for the call, Anthony, it doesn't mean they couldn't have found somebody and made more of him than committing $80 million or whatever it was to Jones.
I appreciate Anthony at least implementing some context. Now, we've done it before. I don't think it was an easy decision with Jones. I think most people will probably agree upon that point. Now, it's in hindsight, it looks awful. But when you win a playoff game, especially on the road, and I know we only threw for 15. Yep. We know everything that happened.
Yeah.
He had a really good year. It's not like they just completely identified some scrub from a different team, brought him in, gave him 40. The guy did something. He fit. There was a thought maybe he could get a little bit better. They were in a rough spot. It accelerated their demise, but I do understand now, and I understood certainly then, why they gave him some money. I get it.
Fair enough. And just to reiterate, and we will when we get down with the king topic of the day in just a few minutes here, just to reiterate, if you're of the belief that you want Shane and Dable, I think that that's fine. I think you can make an argument for saying that you want to keep them. It's going to be hard to justify why, but at least saying you want sustainability, you want to give them another chance, a realistic chance, that's fine. If you want to fire them, to me, that's fine, too. And there's more in that part of things, like tangible evidence why you would make that decision. Mm. What is not okay is what the Giants are considering doing is keeping one in Joe Shane and firing the other in Brian Daboll. That would be a mistake. We'll get back to that and more of your calls on the other side. 888-808-1019.